Hafaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
They don't have any feelings. They're past feelings. They don't have any responsiveness to this.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. Pastor Herron turns to Proverbs 14 today and shares with us a tragic story of suicide and some warning signs to watch for in our own lives in order that we may avoid destruction.
The Bible says in Proverbs 14:12, there is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It ends in death. To put it in the vernacular and time of that setting, of that particular proverb, there were lots of paths that headed out of the towns, and some of those paths everybody knew about headed you to another town. There are some paths they made on their own. There were some paths that took people in the wrong directions and wrong, severely dangerous places. So the general proverb of life was, listen, you better be careful what path you choose, because some of those paths are going to end up leading to death. If you don't alter the course, the path that you seem to think is right is the very path that's going to lead to death. And everybody has one thought in their mind, yeah, but I'm the exception. And so if I could gather and realize that at the start of this path, there were certain choices that are going to be made that are going to influence us, that if I could realize them now, I won't have to end up getting to the end of the path in destruction. Now, what are the signposts of that path that ultimately, if you don't change, it'll end up leading to a person killing themselves? You say, that doesn't happen. Really? I had someone in my office saying to me of someone they knew that was a 12-year-old that just killed themselves. Without being too morbid, I do think it's important that if you could end up realizing that there are certain things that go on in the heart and life of a person that outwardly show up, that if those aren't dealt with here at the very beginning of that path, you don't have to get to the end. What are those? I'll walk through them very quickly with you and use the simple story of a guy named John, because John himself went through the same pathway, headed down that way. What I'm talking about, there are internal conflicts and there's also visible symptoms. Those internal conflicts, things that happen inside, eventually show up on the outside. For example, in John's particular case, there were things that happened for him when he was a kid that he got hurt about. Those hurts eventually started accumulating. Those hurts that eventually showed up and you knew they were there, and that visible symptom of simply a communication breakdown. And that hurt started accumulating, and eventually over the next few years that led him internally to having a loss of love. They're just going to hurt me. I'm going to get skeptical. I really don't trust them. So outwardly it showed up as ungratefulness, and it led him to move internally to basically rejecting his authority. By the time he got into junior high, outwardly to basically being stubborn. And John was in a place that he expressed that stubbornness, all the things from his parents didn't want him to end up having this or that. But he carped enough and nagged enough and complained enough, and pretty soon that's what he got. And because of all of that stubbornness that led to John, by the time he hit high school level, to inwardly figuring, you know what, if they're not going to be my authority, who's going to run my life? You know who's going to run my life? I'll run my life. And so he began to establish himself as authority. That led him outwardly to openly rebel. And it led him to realizing that, you know, internally, if I'm going to establish myself as authority, then I might as well go ahead and seek compatibility with others, and that'll show up in wrong friends. And that's exactly what happened to John. They had worked out a whole device and system where they knew that they could get around from their parents, and they knew it hurt their parents, but the fact is at this point, their parents were a non-entity. Well, yeah, their parents were providing a place for them, but they had figured out how to get away from it all. And at that particular point in time, someone came into the picture that they realized that was really stronger than them, and they were ultimately, in John's heart, wanted a fulfillment of sensual desires. All of those were wrong friends that led him internally to having a fulfillment of sensual desires. But John knew later, saying and talking about this, that there was something that wasn't right. But he knew that if that fulfillment of sensual desires were going to happen, he had to outwardly do something, and that was basically defending his sensuality. And that defense of sensuality led him to realize that, you know what, I'm trying to talk everybody else to the very things that I know in the very core of my being are not right, but they are so filling my time and my energy and my acceptance and my approval. John had been exposed to the gospel. John had been exposed to what is right. John's parents had started to take him to church, but John basically had an apathetic, I don't care attitude. First time I heard this, I realized that this was so apparent so many times that I had seen it over the years then. And I remembered thinking, you know what? Whenever there is an apathetic, indifferent, unresponsive attitude towards what is right, then it is always connected to an attitude to authority. And a person's view of their authority, and ultimately the Almighty, drives them to do what they'd like to do. The more this was probed, the more the students either stiff-armed or they responded. And they stiff-armed by being, and it used to be the attitude of, whatever, that's your thing, that's not my thing. And that's why in the case of John, that internally, that fulfillment of sensual desires led to that defense of sensuality, they got very much to the point that they were blaming everybody else. It's not my problem, it's my parents' problem. They mishandled it all. It's not my fault. It's my school's fault. It's my teacher's fault. They don't understand. That's why I did what I did. And they found themselves in a place of constantly defending themselves. And ultimately, what was driving that was guilt. Because John was not built for guilt no more than you or I are as well. And outwardly, that guilt was showing itself in condemnation of others. And anytime someone tried to come to John, John, we care about you. We love you. We want to help you. There was a sense, because of all that had just preceded, that there was a dullness to them. They almost could fall asleep on the very truthful things that were being said. Because later, I personally found out, listen, Ephesians 3:17 says, they were past feeling, giving themselves over to licentiousness. You know that saying? He was saying, they don't have any feelings. They're past feelings. They don't have any responsiveness to this. Their parents would end up saying to them, don't you get it? And the more they would end up yelling, the less responsive John would be. Because the fact is that for John, ultimately, he got to the point that involved with all of the excitement and enthusiasm was this huge point of depression. And it started particularly when that individual that got involved with all of his friends introduced them to the opportunity to have alcohol. And it seemed to elevate it at a higher level and made the points of depression even greater. He wanted to sleep in more at night and sleep more in the morning. And the only thing that would drive in enthusiasm was at the point in which they could connect privately at night. Ultimately, someone introduced the introduction of drugs to them, and marijuana at the time was just now coming onto the scene and quite popular in certain crowds and in John's crowd now. His whole friends were of all that nature. And I remember hearing of this particular story and finding out that the reality is that John's own sense of guilt that led him to condemnation of others led him ultimately, in the privacy of the moment, to thoughts of suicide. And those thoughts of suicide ultimately led John to a life of excitement and depression. And John was constantly in the point of feeling like his life was a yo-yo up and down, and he had these passions. And yeah, he knew the stuff was wrong because he would ultimately, late at night, eventually go to bed if he wasn't inebriated or if he wasn't in any kind of marijuana at the time for him. He found himself realizing, you know what, this is not right. And there was a condemnation and there was a still small voice saying, John, this is a point of conviction. Don't do this. Now, I pull all this together because you've got to realize that it is more than just leading it back to, okay, John got hurt one time as a kid. But it's the accumulation of it. And I used to live in the woods of Wisconsin. One of my guys I used to work with was a logger. He would end up taking his wood and splitting it. Occasionally, I would try and give him a hand to it. But he would be able to split wood for a very long period of time because the particular hatchet that he used, he'd used it so much that his hands were used to it. Mine weren't. I'd do it for a couple hours, and man, my hands had all kinds of blisters right here. But I found that the more I did, eventually that blister wasn't there anymore, and it kind of a little bit of a callus, and then I got a little thicker, and pretty soon, as he didn't, I didn't have to use gloves. That same callousness is the same things that happen when our own heart, when we hear what truth is, and there's a sense that, yeah, we know that's right, but when we end up violating it, ignoring it, it ends up not getting softer and more tender. We get harder to it. And pretty soon, as Ephesians 3:17 says, the blindness of their heart, the callous dullness of their heart. And that's what happened to John. And ultimately, all this came out of John because one particular travel team that we were with, that we were going into public schools doing this, knew John. And John ultimately got to the point where he didn't want to live life anymore because not having life must be better than this particular life. And so John took his friend's revolver that he was able to get his hands on, went out to the friend of someone else that had killed himself, and went out and laid on the top of that boy's grave, and John ended his life. And John, at that point, became the illustration that could be repeated time and time again. And I would say to you, listen, none of you are exempt from somewhere on this particular progression. You have internal struggles. Your own attitudes and your heart is what God said, I will meet that need. He wants you to have right relationships with Him, with your authority, your parents, which is ultimately going to shape your view of how you're going to look at life. If you're a born-again child of God, you've got a relationship with Christ Himself that can give you that security and strength. Realize, yeah, hurts are going to happen, and you're going to have a loss of love, and your relationships don't have to head down that path. You find your security in Christ. If you don't have a relationship with Christ, this is not about where you're going to church. This is where you're going when you die. And just as John, as others in the past that I've shared this same story with, take that and say, first of all, where am I on this? Have you already headed down that path and you think it's the way to go and not realizing I'm headed in the wrong path? If I don't stop, I'm going to kill myself? I'm not suggesting that's the answer for you, and it is not the answer for you. The answer for you is to realize, you know what? Maybe I better make some changes in my relationship. Maybe, God, my heart needs to be more open to what truth is. And on top of that, maybe I need to learn lessons from other people. You warn the simple, and they're made wise. But I would say to you, just as a Bible truth is, that he went on with this, that there is a way that seems right, the end over the ways of death. And just as John, even in laughter, in the heart is sorrowful. Laughter can conceal a heavy heart. And when the laughter ends, the grief remains. Listen, God loves you. He's got a great plan for your life. If you turn your control of life over to Him, you don't have to end up having to go to a Christless hell, but you can go to a Father's heaven because He loves you. He could give you a purpose in life and living. The wages of sin are death, and that's why there's a way that seems right, just as it was with the way of Cain versus the way of the cross. We love you, my friend. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and beginning of wisdom. And if we can't help you develop a heart for God by having a fear of God, then you will never end up having knowledge and wisdom. I hope and trust you understand that the choices you make now are going to influence you where you're going to be down the road. You find yourself the starting points of this. That's the time to say, I'm going to deal with this. I'm not going to stuff it in a corner. I'm not going to end up having my heart draw away from my parents, draw away from my authority, or draw away from ultimately God. He loves you too much.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Heron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.